It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was recorded during a recent Sunday morning worship service held on the university campus. Following the reading of the scripture from Genesis 37, verses 1 through 11, our speaker will be Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. The title of his message is Envy, Our Evil Enemy.
Dr. Wood, our Vice President, has asked that we read Genesis 37, the first 11 verses of Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word and to the preaching of the word to follow.
Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 37. I must admit that the book of Genesis is one of my favorite books in all of Scripture, because it gives to us the foundation of many wonderful truths that we as Christians need to learn and need to practice. Over the years, I've learned many very positive lessons from the life of Joseph, a man who was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. But here in Genesis 37, we learn a very powerful negative lesson from his brothers. The Bible tells us that this story takes place when Joseph is 17 years old, the age of many of you. And we see here certainly the picture of a family in conflict. And within this family, decisions are made that have a negative lifelong effect. It's so easy when you're a teenager to make decisions that have negative lifelong effects. And yet God, in His omnipotence and wisdom, is able to forgive and to restore and turn even those negative things that happen to us in life into very positive benefits if we learn the lessons of life. The text this morning is found in the 11th verse of the passage read to you in Genesis chapter 37. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. His brothers envied him. What does that mean? This word carries a very strong emotion, whereby some quality or possession of one person is desired by another person. Webster defines this word envy in this way: to feel uneasy, to feel mortification, which we would call humiliation, or discontent in the sight of a person of excellent reputation, or a person of happiness that is enjoyed by one but not enjoyed by the other. And one of our old Puritan preachers wrote this statement about this word envy: envy springs from pride and ambition, mortified that another has obtained what one wants and he has a strong desire to possess it. Envy and jealousy are what we call in the South kissing cousins. Jealousy means to look at someone and see something they have and to want it very strongly. But envy, on the other hand, is a much stronger word. Because with your desire to have something that another person has, there comes a bitterness and an anger where you would like to see them without it. And from this comes a bitterness and a hatred that causes you to exercise a spirit of bitterness toward another person. And you become angry and hostile. And people who are affected, or I should say infected, by bitterness, who have gleaned this from envy, are miserable people all their lives. They don't get along with anyone. They're not happy about anything. Jealousy in the Bible can be either good or bad. God is jealous over His people. That's good. But envy is never good. It's always evil. We're told in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, even a mention of this in the New Testament. The patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, envy, our evil enemy. Envy is the enemy of every man who would serve God. It's the enemy of every person who would concentrate on the gifts and benefits of another in a negative manner. And it is a very destructive force that can rob from you the joy and happiness of walking with your God and cause you not to fulfill His calling in your life. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 4 tells us this: wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Well, let me answer that verse for you. Joseph was able to stand before envy. Joseph, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Joseph, a man who did many wonderful miracles for God. A man that was used greatly of God to deliver His people. A man who we're told nothing negative about in the Scripture. And he lived with and was raised with envy within his own family. Robert Burton said, "Every other sin has some pleasure annexed to it, or with an admission to excuse. But envy alone wants both. Envy never has pleasure and never has an excuse for existing." That's what this man is telling us. There is no good reason for a man to ever allow this evil enemy to attack his life and destroy it. I want us first in this passage of Scripture to look at the roots of envy. Where does it come from? Well, since the family is the basic unit of God's economy, our first and most obvious place that we can be caught up in this emotion we call envy is within our own family. One of the roots of this thing we call envy is family problems. Have you ever stopped to look at the family in which Joseph was raised? How in the world did this man become such a dynamic force for God? When he was raised in what we would call today a dysfunctional family, with pretty serious family problems. His dad had multiple wives. It's hard enough for a man to get along with one. But in this setting, there are multiple authorities within the family. And of course, that was never God's will. But it created problems within that family. There was Rachel, his dad's favorite, and his mother. There was Leah, Jacob's other wife, who was a woman frustrated and disappointed because of her inferior position in the family. Because she was frowned upon. She went many years with no children. And that was frowned upon in this society. And then his grandfather Laban. What a guy. Full of tricks and dishonesty. Man motivated by money and greed and the things he could get out of life. Then his uncle Esau, a rude, unspiritual man, a man who hated his own brother Jacob. And there was Jacob himself, who was called the supplanter. That's what his name means. And until God finally dealt with him and broke his heart and changed his life, he was a supplanter, a schemer, a plotter. And then he became Israel, a prince with God. And praise God, that can happen to any of us. So keep that in mind if you're caught up in this emotion of envy. You can be delivered from it. You can be free of it. You can be successful, even as Joseph was a successful servant of his God. To top it off, Rachel, Joseph's mother, was suddenly taken. She died at the birth of one of Joseph's brothers, Benoni. Wouldn't you think Joseph, with all the things that happened to him, his brothers hating him, being sold into slavery, being lied about by Potiphar's wife, going to prison, all that happened to him in his life, isn't this a young man that's got every excuse in the world to be bitter and angry? And to look at people who are successful and happy and be envious, but he was not. He didn't allow this enemy to destroy his life. This man gives us such a wonderful example of what it should be to be a Christian and to serve God, regardless of the circumstances of life. There are things I hate about modern psychology. So much discussion about poor young people being destroyed by their families so they can never overcome it. Oh, it has a negative impact and it hurts and it can create a multitude of problems. But my young friends, you can overcome it regardless of what kind of family you have. And regardless of the strife, internal strife and problems within that family. Joseph's life really shoots the theory of modern psychology. You know why? With God, all things are possible. And I think that's wonderful. Not only family problems, family pressures. In verse 1 and 2, at 17, Joseph is sent to the field with four older brothers to learn the family business of shepherding. And you know what? This book says they hated him. Look at verse 4. They hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Look at the last sentence in verse 5. They hated him yet the more. And then look at the last sentence in verse 8. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Do you see this growing hatred within this family? Brothers set against brother. Envy has attacked with all of its power. And hatred is reigning and bitterness rules. What a sad picture. And how easy it is for it to happen to any of us. How easy it is for Satan to attack us with envy in these circumstances and destroy our lives. First, there's a pressure to conform. To conform to his older brother's lifestyle. Here's one little boy with four brothers giving him fits in the field while they're working with the sheep. They hate him. They won't speak peaceably to him. They're giving him a hard time. What can Joseph do? He's got two options, the same two options you have. He can turn to his God and stay close to his earthly father, or he can join his brothers being as wicked and evil as they are. That's his only two options. That's your only two options when these things happen to you. You can turn to your God, or you can conform. The Scripture tells us something about these brothers and the pressures they create. There's Dan. You know what Dan's name means? Judgment. Even at his birth, he was plagued with problems. He's judgmental. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, lest I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I God who has withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, the wife. And Jacob went unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare a son. And Rachel said, "God has judged me also and heard my voice." Call his name Dan, judgmental, critical. Envy works in an atmosphere of criticism. In the heart of a person who's judgmental, Dan criticizes everything everybody does around him. He's judgmental about everyone else, and yet he's the product of envy in his own family. Beware that this enemy has not attacked you and created a bitterness and a hatred in you that causes you to be judgmental. You criticize everybody and everything. There's Naphtali. His name means wrestling or strife. Genesis 37 and 8. Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestling I've wrestled with my sister and I've prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. Strife. Fighting. Arguing. Unhappy family. Unhappy background. Jealousy. Ruling. Boy, I would say from the standpoint of modern psychology, Joseph doesn't have a chance. I can tell you this story's building up where, according to the psychology books of the day, he can't make it. He's got to crash and burn. Everything in his family's going the wrong way. And then there's Gad. Genesis 49:19, Gad, a troop shall overcome him. His name means a troop, a marauding plunderer. A restless professional warrior. Always stealing from someone else. Always taking from someone else. Boy, what a great family. Don't you know they had fun playing as children? While Gad runs around stealing everybody else's toys. I bet as a little boy, if you wanted to play with it, he'd take it away from you. He did that as an adult. He had to learn it somewhere. Asher, born to Zilpah. Of him, Jacob says in Genesis 49:20, out of Asher shall his bread be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. His name means a taste for the good life. Hey, I got to have special thing. I've got to wear clothes that have a certain decal on the pocket. I got to be cool. I've got to drive a car that everybody looks at and it turns their heads. I just don't want them to know I'm three payments behind. But I sure want to be above everybody else with the things I have. Well, here is who Joseph is going to the field with to work every day. One brother who's critical and judgmental. One who is wrestling to escape the traps he sets for himself in life. One who's always fighting and taking things that belong to another. And one who wants to live the good life and have the extravagant things of life. I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hand if you came out of a family like that. Because I do know there's a lot of misinterpretation within a lot of families. Look what Joseph's fighting, my friends. Look where he lives. Look at the potential of having his life destroyed by this thing we call envy. They envied him. What about Joseph? Oh, I'd like to read you something about him too. Genesis 49:22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by the well. He's getting his sustenance he needs every day, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Everybody's shooting at him. But God's defending him. God's taking care of him. Why? He's got the right attitude. He's got the right heart. He's got the right spirit. And he is not allowing this evil thing we call envy into his life. He rejected it. He turned his back on it. And he will excel above all of them all of his life. And he will eventually save his own sorry brothers. Boy, I like this story. With all the pressures to conform, Joseph didn't. They became more envious. They hated him all the more. And he just served God and served his own father. There was the pressure to conform to them, and then the pressure to conceal the truth. Look at verse 2. Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. Now, some of you who take the modern tact of being cool would say, Joseph's a tattletale. He's telling his dad what's going on within the family. He's telling his dad his brothers are mean to him. Well, I think you better read the whole story of Joseph. I think you better see how he turned out. He is keeping communications going with his dad. He's not telling his dad because he's angry or bitter toward his brothers. He's telling his dad because he really wants help for his brothers. And he's looking for that help from the father, the head of the family. And he's looking for that help from the heavenly father who eventually gets hold of the hearts of these brothers. But there's always pressure to conceal the truth. And there's pressure to conceal his dreams. You know, he wouldn't have had all these problems. They wouldn't have sold him into slavery if he hadn't have told them that God had given him a vision about his future. Why don't you just keep your mouth shut about what God's doing in your life? if God's going to use you, there'll always be envious people. Those who do not seek nor know God's will are always envious of those who do know God's will and do seek God's will. And they're always critical and judgmental and angry and bitter. That's a part of life. That's a reality of life. Many people laugh at young people who have spiritual dreams and visions. Let me tell you something. Even parents. Many years ago, a young man came to school here. His father was a professional man. He was seeking a degree in an area that would allow him to become his father's associate in a very successful business. Something strange happened to this young man. God began to deal with his heart. And God called him to preach. And he went to his dormitory supervisor and he made an appointment and he came to see me. And he said, God has so burdened my heart for others and to preach. But my dad is very angry about this. He's told me I'll never make any money as a preacher. I'll never be successful as a preacher. I made arrangements for him to go home on cuts and talk to his dad. And he reasoned with his dad. You know what his dad did? He said, you're down there under the pressure of all those religious people. I'm going to transfer you to a state school. You've got to follow me in this profession. Almost 4 years later, that dad called me and said, I need some help. My son's angry and bitter and critical. And he's become an alcoholic. And he's turned his back on God. I didn't say what I was thinking. I was thinking, I wish there was some way to shoot the dad from here. You know where that came about. This boy was under constant pressure to conceal God's dealing in his life. And he fell to that pressure. And Satan used it to destroy his life. Pressure to conceal his gift. His dad loved him. He was the last son. He was the baby of the family. And his dad had him a beautiful coat made from many pieces of material that set him aside as daddy's little boy. You think his brothers didn't tell him how much they hated that coat? How much they hated how his dad handled the family? And maybe his dad made some pretty serious mistakes in handling his family. He had an option. He could wear that coat because of his love for his father and take the criticism and anger. Or he could just hide it and never wear it. I wonder how many young people there are in this school today who have gifts and talents given by their Heavenly Father. And for fear of the laughter and jeering and hypocrisy of other students around them, they hide their gifts. Joseph had that option. He could have done that, but he didn't. He took the pressure of saying, I love my father and my father loves me and I will serve him. And I want to tell you something. Joseph turns outright and Joseph receives great blessings. And Joseph becomes a man of God that we're still talking about 4,000 years after he died. The results of envy, you've already seen part of it. Hatred. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 8, they hated him. This word means that in bitterness they opposed everything he said and did. Is there anyone in your life who hates you, who opposes everything you say and do? Will you allow that to destroy your love of your Father and your service of God? Will you allow that envy to be infectious so that it destroys you in bitterness? I want you to look at what this teenager was putting up with in his life. And I want you to look at what he put up with as an adult man. And the story of Joseph is given us in the pages of this holy book to teach us, regardless of the pressure and the circumstances around us, and regardless of who hates us, God loves us. And God wants us to serve Him. And God gives each of us gifts and talents in the area to which He will call us to serve. There was harassment. That's the way we say it in the South. I think you say it harassment in the North. It's the same thing, same word. Just have to translate it for you. Every time they got away from parental authority, every time mother and daddy couldn't hear, they started harassing, nagging at him, joking him, being critical toward him. They could not speak peaceably to him, verse 4 says. Everything they said was antagonistic. Did you know in the book of the Revelation, Satan is called the nagger of the people of God? He's after you all the time. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like criticism. When I was younger, I really couldn't handle it. Now I've learned as I get older that there's some constructive criticism that you're supposed to take and be happy about. There is other destructive criticism that you're supposed to ignore. And I'm going to tell you something. That makes the critic madder than anything you could do to it. Just ignore him. Just don't pay any attention to it. How uncomfortable for this young man to grow up in this atmosphere. And then there's a hardness. If you look at verse 18 of this chapter, it says, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Let me tell you something. When you can make a plan to kill your own brother, you're hard. You've lost all your emotion. They made a plan to kill their own brother. And this reveals to us what I think are some of the relatives of envy. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 31. This is talking about men who did not want to know God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's the relatives of envy. Do you know any of them well? Murder is next to envy in that passage in Romans 1. And they conspired to murder him. But they sold him into slavery because they even wanted to make profit off of it rather than murder him. And then they concocted a story to cover their evil deeds. And they almost killed their father with grief, and they didn't care. One of the things that grieves my heart more than anything else is to see young people raised by godly parents that have sacrificed to get them a Christian education, and to see them live in such a manner that breaks the hearts of godly parents. And when this evil report came back, and this lie that Joseph had been killed by some wild animal, and this coat was brought back with the blood of a lamb on it, This father was grieved to the bottom of his heart, and the brothers rejoiced that their wickedness had been rewarded. They got paid for Joseph. And boy, did they think they won. But I'm going to tell you something. They didn't win. They lost big time. This guy that they envied and hated because God was going to use him just ended up being in a position to save their lives and the lives of all of Israel. Just ended up being in even a higher position than they ever imagined. Just think about it. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that's raised against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. They are mine, saith the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. It always, always works that way. So no matter how much you conspire, or how hard or wicked you are, it won't work. And then there's horror that comes. Let me read you a verse that takes place just 27 years later. An interesting verse. Genesis 45:3. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. He's in Egypt now. He's second only to Pharaoh now. He's a powerful man for God. His faithfulness has been recognized. And he says to his brothers who came to buy grain to keep from dying, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You know what this word troubled means in the Hebrew? They were horrified. They were overwhelmed with fear. You're Joseph. We sold you into slavery. We got rid of you. We got you out of the family. You're Joseph, and you're in power, sitting on this throne, ruling over this nation, and we walked into this trap. I think God has a sense of humor, don't you? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask for the record of this event, and I'm going to sit down and watch it. Now, you know, if we can put things on a microchip, God's got things stored away. I want to see this story as it really happens. You know why? There's a little bit of meanness in me, because I want to see in the hearts of those brothers when they find out this was Joseph. I want to see that terror that overwhelmed them. Now, I'll refrain from saying, yeah. But I'll think it. God makes things work out right. Every envious person comes to this place at some time or another in his life when they have to face the results of their enviousness and they're overwhelmed with fear and horror. God will always bring His children to this place. And mind you, I'm talking about the children of God in this passage. If you're an envious person that has allowed this malady to strike you, and you're judgmental and critical and harsh and angry and all caught up in the good things of life, you will come to a point when you'll face your envy one day, and great horror and fear will overwhelm your heart. God will see to it. The last thing I want you to see is the release from envy. We don't have time, but if we read through Genesis 44 through 49, we find some great things. The recognition of sin. Genesis 44:14. Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that you've done? Want you not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? Here's Judah's brother calling him Lord. What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? Listen to this sentence. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. And behold, we are now thy servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. God, through Joseph, created a set of circumstances that they couldn't escape. And they had to confess their sin of envy. And they had to beg for forgiveness. And they had to ask this question, how can we clear this up? You know what Joseph says in the 50th chapter of Genesis? Basically, I'll give you a literal South Georgia translation. He said, it is clear. You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, that many people might be saved alive today. What a gracious forgiveness he extended to his brothers. What a gracious statement to make to them. I've been through all these pressures and all these problems in God's will to be right here so that I could deliver Israel from this famine and from these problems. So you see, my brothers, though you hated me and were envious of me, and though I've been through many trials and many burdens, I have been in the will of God. And in essence, if you want a real literal translation, he said to his brothers, thank you for putting me here. I don't know what that does to you. That gets at my heart. Do you know God well enough that you can take people who hate you and envy you and are bitter toward you and say to them, thank you for being used of the Lord in my life? What a powerful, powerful statement. Repentance. Chapter 44 and verse 20. These brothers confessed their sin. They repented before Joseph and they said, we're sorry for what we've done for you. And they received forgiveness. Let me read you this. Genesis 45, verse 4 through 8. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve your life. For these years has the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 more years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. But God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity on earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. What do you think this did to the minds of his brothers to see that God used them in that way? So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What a wonderful, wonderful story. What an exciting and real story. Diogenes said, as iron is eaten by rust, so are the envious consumed by their own envy. They become worthless and useless unless they conquer envy, their evil enemy. Think of it. A little over 26 years of conscience and conviction and fear that the truth would get out someday, and all of a sudden forgiven and wiped clean by the words of Joseph. In a moment. But many of you will go all your lives in sorrow because of the envy in your life. Some of you will experience the grace of God as these brothers experienced the grace of Joseph, and you'll be delivered and you'll be used by God. If you contrast chapter 45, verse 3 with verse 5, you see what they thought his reaction would be, and then you see what his reaction was. When you face this enemy, envy, you may have one thought about what God's reaction is, but God's reaction is always to forgive and restore and to cleanse you. And if you are the object of envy of others, and you allow it to destroy your life, you're no better off than the envious person. And it may be within your own family. Don't forget to beware of envy, our evil enemy. Maybe you've lived many years infected by envy. It's time to be free. It's time to know the grace of forgiveness. It's time to have a happy and a productive life in service of God. And maybe you've been the object of another's envy, but you didn't handle it like Joseph did. Maybe there's somebody you're bitter against that's done you wrong as his brothers did him wrong. And you need to forgive them and be delivered from this envy and set free. What a powerful and wonderful lesson the life of Joseph gives to us. Would you stand, please? Our gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with joy over the victories of Joseph and fear for our enemy, envy. Lord, let it not attack us. And let it not destroy us when it's brought on by others. Give us the understanding that you gave to Joseph to deliver him and to use him and to bless him in a wonderful and a mighty way. Dear God, free every person in this auditorium from their envy that causes them to be judgmental or critical or angry or hostile or worldly. And give those who have had to deal with the envious nature of others the grace to live with it as Joseph did, knowing that the end result will be your will and that you will deliver them. Dear God, deliver us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.